First, let's just talk about the general theory of peak oil for those people that didn't catch you on earlier in the week on with George Noory.
Okay, well, all oil production follows a bell curve. This is true whether we're talking about an individual field, an oil-producing country, or the world as a whole. We've been going up the upslope of the global oil production curve since 1859, when the first commercial oil well was drilled. The peak in oil production occurs at the point at which 50% of the respective oil reserve has been depleted. From that point forward, the oil production will decline, and the oil that you pull out of the ground will become more expensive, both in terms of the amount of energy that it takes to pull it out of the ground and the amount of money that that costs.
Go ahead.
The world was originally endowed with 2 trillion barrels of oil. We've consumed about 1 trillion. So right there, you know, we're right around, somewhere around the peak. Global oil discovery, and you have to find oil before you can pull it out of the ground, that peaked in 1962. Back in the 50s and 60s, we would find 6 barrels of oil for every barrel that we consumed. So if we used about 10 billion barrels per year, that's the world as a whole, back in the 50s, we were finding 60 billion barrels. We now consume almost 30 billion barrels per year, but we only find 4 or 5 billion barrels. Of the 99% of the world's oil production comes from 44 oil-producing nations. 24 of those nations are now past their peak. The U.S. passed its peak in 1970 and now produces only about 50% of the oil that it produced back then.
So, but when we talk about oil, just so I understand, we're talking about this is the easily found oil, and that we're certain that we're talking about 2 trillion barrels. You really do know that figure?
Nobody knows how much oil is actually in the ground. Now, there are some people who say, well, there may be up to 3 trillion barrels, or the Earth may have originally been endowed with 3 trillion barrels. And, boy, you know, if they're right, that would certainly buy us a lot of time, right? An extra trillion barrels, the amount that the world has consumed in the last 150 years. If we have an extra trillion, that buys us a lot of time, right? Well, not really. Okay, if the Earth was originally endowed with 2 trillion, that puts the halfway point, the peak, at 1 trillion. If we're originally endowed with 3 trillion, that puts the halfway mark at 1.5 trillion. Right now, we consume 30 billion per year. 30 billion into half a trillion, or 500 billion, that's a little less than 20 years. Now, when you account for economic growth, our demand grows 2 to 5% per year to keep the monetary system growing. The monetary system is based on fractional reserve banking, which needs extra energy to back up the extra money that's injected into the economy each year. So we need an extra 2 to 7%. Now, when you factor that in to the extra trillion barrels that optimistic or delusional, depending on how you characterize them, analysts think that we have, that only buys us maybe an extra 10 or 15 years.
All right,
that's
now,
the most optimistic scenario.
Okay, I want you to revisit that same topic, mm-hmm. and this time I want you to take the numbers out of it, because numbers can be very, you know, clinical.
Right.
Let's put this in human terms. What do you think will happen? What is going to happen to our culture, our society, as we see these diminishing returns of oil?
Well, the first thing people have to understand is oil is important to a lot more than just the gas in your car.
Okay.
About two-thirds of our oil, this is both in the U.S. and in the nation as a whole, in the world as a whole, two-thirds is used for transportation. Okay, that includes all types of transportation, freighters, airplanes, everything that transports your food and consumer goods, all that type of stuff. The average piece of food in the U.S. is transported 1,500 miles from where it's produced to where it's consumed. In Canada, that number is 5,000 miles. Every piece of food that you eat, on average, 10 calories of hydrocarbon energy go in to produce 1 calorie of food. People go, how can that possibly be? Well, all pesticides are made from oil. Fertilizers are made from ammonia, which we get from natural gas. Natural gas is going to peak about 10 years after oil peaks. Unlike oil, which oil production follows a bell curve, natural gas production, when it starts to drop, because it's a vapor, it just basically drops off a cliff. So in addition to an oil crisis, we're also facing a natural gas crisis.
Okay.
Average computer consumes 10 times its weight in fossil fuels during its construction. The average microchip consumes 630 times its weight during its construction. the construction of an average car consumes 2,000 gallons of oil during its construction. All of these alternatives to oil, solar panels, windmills, nuclear power plants, biodiesel, all of this stuff is the resources to produce these things are either made or developed using oil-powered machinery. The financial system, this is the number one aspect of this that people, I never, ever, ever get emails about this. I get dozens of emails per day about various alternatives, miraculous alternatives to oil that are going to supposedly save our butts. I've never gotten one about the financial system. And that is it, that even if we have, we need extra energy every year to keep the markets going. The markets are based on growth. So even if in theory we have enough energy to keep our food production going and transportation lines going and whatnot, if the markets don't have enough energy to grow, then the financial system collapses, which then even if you have enough energy in theory to produce your food, the food markets will collapse also.